random encounter at a broadcasting facility. A shared interest and love of all things Marvel.
Excelsior!
A misinterpreted program title. And behold, a podcast is born.
Peter Melnick.
Podcaster and comic book enthusiast. And
Eddie Wilson!
Upstate New York radio announcer, still with an inordinate amount of catching up to do.
Peter, what are you doing?
Here we go with a new episode of The Marvelists. OMREOG.
Hi, this is OMG, and you're listening to The Marvelists with Peter Melnick and Eddie Wilson. Thank you again for today.
Welcome, everyone, to The Marvelists, the Marvel Universe podcast. I'm Peter Melnick.
And I'm Eddie Wilson.
And joining us on the other end of the tin can and string, we are joined with the artist, OMG. Actually, no, Eddie, I like when you say those letters. You go for it. We are joined with?
OMG.
There we go. Good evening. So first off, you've been in the comic book game for a number of years, and you're responsible for the creation of the character Ant, not Ant-Man, although I imagine there's been a lot of confusion from the fandom over the years for it. But Ant is a pretty cool character, and I want to know, how did that character come about?
Well, thank you. I appreciate that very much. And the character came about when, in 1996, I was incarcerated. I had a situation when I was like 19, I got locked up, right? And I was looking out the jail cell window, and a tiny ant was on the jail cell window. And I was saying to myself, man, I'd give anything in my life to be this ant. Because at this point in my life, I figured out that everything I thought about and everything I accumulated at that point got me incarcerated. And I figured out this ant had a little brain that small, had better choices than I had. So I had a In the dorm, my cellmate asked me to, we collected comic books when we was out. He said, why don't you draw a comic book about it? So that's what I did. I designed the character at the time. I wanted to call her Ant. There still wasn't an ant. And I started drawing it on commissary paper to make commissary. And then I got popular in the jail cell by drawing chicks on envelopes. So I was drawing chicks on envelopes, and I was a hot man in jail. And it got around. And, you know, different cellies would ask me to do different things and stuff. And then COs would ask me to do portraits for them and Miami Dolphins banners and stuff so they can go to the games. And then after that, I progressed to send submissions in. I started sending submissions in to every publisher I could think of. I kept sending publishers in, kept sending submissions in, kept sending submissions in. I did that for 10 years. Then, after so many rejections, I finally got picked up by a small company back in, now default called ICE. ICE was going to publish Ant for one condition. That condition was to be black and white because they didn't have the money to print in color. So I was going to sign that contract the day before I signed that contract. Sean O'Reilly from Arcana Studios sent me an email and said, whatever you got, I can match it. Don't sign that contract. And as we did that, I got J. Scott Campbell to do two covers, and I had my first indie book. It was Ant, published by Arcana Studios. So technically, my first ride or my first entry to the comic book industry was my own. Was my only creation, Ant. That's how that went.
Very cool. And it's interesting because, like, the character is, you know, still a part of the Image universe, and to the point where Ant is showing up now in comics alongside Savage Dragon, Malcolm Dragon, and, you know, Spawn. And it's kind of cool to see, like, this character is now in the pantheon of those kind of characters. Like, that character is interacting with, you know, legends of the 1990s. And how does that, you know, make you feel, like, seeing that kind of stuff happening with that character, the legacy now that this character has already had?
You know, it's funny because that was my idea from the beginning. My conception was, you know, I was a big, when I got into comics, I fell in love with Spawn. It was a big impact for me. So, make a long story short, I tell you guys this: what happened to break into comics? I was an Image Comics roadie. I was hanging around with a marketing director by the name of Anthony Bosley. He was a marketing director at the time when Brian Michael Bendis was he was just not doing Sam and Twitch for Tom McFarlane. Brian Michael Bendis was doing it just started his run at Marvel at the time, early on, and I was back, you know, picking up books and conventions, you know, wheeling them out, and he would take me around to all the shows, and I would go in portfolio reviews. I would do that for a very long time. And then finally I got published, and they said, I got a pinup to do in a book called Violet Messiahs, done by Tony Rodriguez at the time, a very hot book. I was doing free pinups for a while. So after I was doing free pinups, I was sending Ant to Image. Ant to Image all the time. Like, they got under the helm of Jim Valentino. That got turned down about 5 times under his helm. So then when Eric Larson replaced him as publisher, I finally got to go ahead. I begged Eric. To get in the door. Eric gave me the go-ahead. And by issues, and just to answer the question, that's a long answer. Issue 1, Arcana Studios, and sold out in 9 days. When issue 2 came out, it was doing okay, but everybody knows that your second issue would drop sales. So when I got to Image Comics, he gave me the go-ahead. The first thing I asked in the door, could I ask Tom McFarlane, can I get Spawn? I'd like to get Spawn and Ant. And then I'd like to get Savage Dragon and Spawn or any of those characters in issue 2 to put Ant in the stable. That's how that worked out. I had Invincible and stuff in the first issue and stuff. And even me and Robert Kirkman had emails about it because at the time, Invincible was just getting picked up by Paramount. And Eric said, oh, you can use any Image character you want in the book. Just go ahead, you know, Have fun, kid. And that's how that started. And when I sold Ant, I wanted to sell it to Image Comics. I wanted to create a character that could stand on its own, that anybody could draw. I designed her pretty easy. Red suit, you know. Curves, can't mess too much. I designed her that way so she could outlive me.
We at the Marvelists are very pleased to announce our super new sponsor, Marvel Strike Force. Marvel Strike Force is an incredible mobile game, a comic book fan's dream. Marvel Strike Force is a mobile squad RPG that allows you to battle with your favorite team of superheroes and supervillains in a fight to save the universe against threats like Doctor Doom and Apocalypse. Your goal is to power up your favorite characters to complete missions, unlock gear, and other resources, and beat other players in PvP modes such as Alliance War and Real-Time Arena. As we speak, they are enjoying their 6-year anniversary. You know what that means. Free stuff just for signing up via our unique link in the description. The anniversary consists of weekly events and bonuses. If you complete each event, you can receive special rewards and skins. Make sure to log in each day and each week to take advantage of all of the new characters that are being released specifically for this event. This will be Marvel Strike Force's most generous event to date, so don't miss out. We have received a unique promo code for every new user. Please follow our link in the description and use the promo code MAXPOOL, MAXPOOL. Once again, thank you so much to Marvel Strike Force for sponsoring this episode.
And what do you feel is like one of the most important parts of a costume design? You mentioned like the character to outlast and outlive, and that like what do you feel like are the main attributes a design should have to have that be timeless? Because you look at Spawn, you have, you know, the M in the middle for Malbolgia, although it kind of doubles as McFarlane. You have, you know, Savage Dragon with the green fin. You have you know, Grifter from Wildcats with, like, you know, the little face mask and everything. They're all identifiable instantaneously, and also they don't age. Like, you look at these designs, they can still be utilized, you know, 10, 20, 30 years down the line.
Right. I have a method, but it's kind of crude. But this is how I see things, and this is how I draw my things also. First of all, when you design something, when you see it and you close your eyes, you have to still see that image for it to be hot. No matter what colors you have, no matter what the contours of the suit is, it doesn't matter. It has to be something that's memorable, and that's hard to do in the industry when there's so many characters. So when I designed Ant, and the situation was, I designed a costume from a premise of, if you got cars going down the street and the cop is looking, and if the car that's red, no matter if you got six of them going the same miles per hour, the red car was in his head the most, and that's the one he'll stop. So I designed her with the biggest stop sign red color I could think of that was red. To make her bright, stick out, and make her easily to be identified as an ant or any character. From drawing a character, if you're drawing Batman or Spider-Man or Spawn or any of those characters, to me, I have to present those characters in a way that looks iconic every time you draw. But if you don't, after a while, you know how you go to, it's like collecting toys. You know how you go to the toy and you pick up a Captain America and his face paint is messed up, kind of twisted onto the side, but he's the last Captain America in the store. And you're like, gotta get him, but you don't ever like him because he doesn't look like Captain America. He looks like a paint rip-off flute. That's my, me and my family was like, hey, you draw Spider-Man, you draw Batman, or you draw a character, or if you make an ant, it's got to look like it's something. It's got to look like it's an ant. It's got to present itself in that position. So from the standpoint of creating the costume, another principle that I use, and it's from the martial art principle of Bruce Lee's martial art, which I teach, is Jeet Kune Do. We teach that simplicity is most, of course. And now, granted, I designed Ant back in, this is 93. So you can imagine there's a lot of big, bulky machineries going on at the time. This is the X-Force era. Pouches is more, big guns is more, but in our philosophy, less is more, and the more weapons you have, it makes you at a disadvantage in real life. The more weapons you have, you're at a disadvantage because you got more to think about and you got too much to be juggling in the actual combat situation. So we would skin all that down. So that's why you see Bruce Lee having a tracksuit that a lot of people have coined the tracksuit, which is all black, and he has another all yellow with one stripe. Make it simple. So I designed Ant that way. I just made it all red. And the characters. I try to make characters very simple and simplistic. The name's very simple so you can remember them. It can't be a name like, Superstar Baxter Man, or, battling the evil tyrant on Planet Z. It's hard for people to remember that. When you're going to a comic book store and you're looking at 15 books on the shelf and one book's got to stand out, you're going to buy your Spider-Man, your X-Man, and your Batman. You ain't got a few bucks left over you're going to pick up. Or you might pick up a book that's like, shocking, sticks out in your face. And that's how I try to, present myself. And it's worked out pretty good so far.
And it's such a smart way to be able to make the character, again, jump out at you, And without the gimmick of quote-unquote 3D, you're literally, you're having the metaphorical 3D for the reader. You know what I mean?
Right. I got that as a kid from, it's like Spider-Man movies. Or, not movies, I said the cartoon back in the day, Every time Spider-Man would jump out, people would look at him like it's amazing, right? Well, over the time period, you see later when the superhero walking in the room and nobody cares. It's like you got Spider-Man or somebody swinging in from the room and everybody's sitting down drinking coffee and stuff.
Yeah, you want to make it memorable.
Yeah. I don't want to interrupt you.
No worries. And it actually kind of reminds me of, like, you look at the 60s Batman where Adam West Batman is walking through the street going, "Hi, citizens," and, like, no one pays attention to the man in tights. It's like,
right.
Do you see that right there,
Right. It's the opposite effect because of this. Check this out. Back in the day, when we try to break into Marvel, we go to conventions, we go to San Diego Comic-Con and stuff, and a lot of people would try very hard to get attention to their portfolio, I would say. So what they do is they get a whole bunch of their friends to come over from high school, and while they're in a portfolio review, the other friends will come up and go, wow, that looks great, you know, kind of boost up the editor just by having the excitement of his friend. Sometimes it worked. Sometimes it didn't. But oftentimes it did. So it's one of those things where if you present your character nonchalantly, people are going to react nonchalantly. If you present your character like, oh, wow, it looks great, or everybody's turning their head, it could be somebody just walking around with a bad hairdo. Everybody turns around and shocked. The camera's going to turn around and be shocked, and I think the audience would be shocked. I think that's how people should draw and write comic books, in my opinion.
Well,
it's shocking.
I think, OMG, that right at the beginning here, to find out this origin story of Ant was something one or both of us didn't see coming, but the upswing is that something good comes out of something that wasn't really as good, and we're up to this now, and we appreciate that backstory. How old were you when you started getting into comics, and who were your first comic book reads, characters, etc.?
Check this out. Okay. Well, I started drawing at the age of 4. I could always be able to draw something. And growing up, me and my family, or my brothers, we all drew. We just drew on papers and stuff like that. Later on, that progressed, and I should cut my superheroes out as I drew them, Spider-Man, Batman. So I've done that for years. I've done it so much that we created characters on demand. So we have this old factory of these paper dolls that we make of these superheroes. And we got competitive drawing for each other. So later, I was introduced to John Byrne in Secret Wars, mm-hmm. one of my favorite comic books ever. John Byrne blew my mind. I picked up everything John Byrne made. Secret Wars. Then he made She-Hulk. Oh, John Byrne, She-Hulk. I fell in love with that. And then I started drawing in high school and stuff. And me and my friends, we create comic book characters. And we try to fill up one of those 100-bind notebook papers. We try to fill each page up with a different character. And I did that till I was in 1920s. By the time it came around that I had finances to produce a comic book, I had about 130 characters in my belt. And I thought about, at the time, it was the 90s, and superhero chicks was hot, and I wanted to make a superhero story compatible to what I see in that image and my drawing experience. Because I was drawing hot chicks on envelopes, right? So I started to gravitate to artists like that. My favorite artist of all time, probably. It's a mixture of three. Well, if you want to put in a comic book art, I want to say a comic book art. It's Tom McFarlane, Dave Finch, and Greg Capullo. I love those guys. Mm-hmm. They're my go-to guys when I bought every comic book and try to buy everything these guys put out. And those are my favorite guys. They're still my favorite guys to this day. Yep.
This show is brought to you by our Patreon. Go to patreon.com/themarvelists. And on the $3 tier, you'll get access to episodes early and ad-free. The $5 tier gets you our two bonus shows. One, Fantastic Voyage, where we dissect and just talk about the 102 issues one by one, although if it's a storyline, more than one at a time, of Stan Lee and Jack Kirby's amazing, incredible, spectacular, invincible, and fantastic run of the Fantastic Four, the world's greatest comic magazine. And two, You Haven't Read That? A show dedicated to the comic books that I haven't read yet. Some Marvel, some DC, all fun. And on the $8 tier, pick a topic of your choosing, not a topping of your choice, or perhaps you can be a guest on The Marvelists. Above all else, we thank you for your continued support.
And in regards to, you know, being a kid growing up in that time frame of experiencing all those creators, you even got to, you know, have your first work at Marvel be involving Roy the Boy Thomas. And, you know, how did that come about, and how did that feel being able to, you know, get not just your first, some of your first work at Marvel, but with a guy of that degree, you know?
Okay. Now, okay, another situation happened when I was producing Ant, and But I was drawing it, I was writing it, penciling it, inking it, you know, color edited, and I was doing monthly. And it got to a point, and it was like, it was getting tiresome, but at the same time, I knew that I wanted my street cred, so to speak, or my comic cred to go up. I had to go to work at Marvel. I had to do some Marvel work, because all the other guys done stuff at Marvel. Now, keep in mind, in the 90s, what you would do, you would probably get picked up at a convention, work at Marvel DC for a while. That's some customary. You know, you work on them, they'll start you at the bottom level. If you get hot and stuff, you get up in there, they'll get you some Marvels or some Avengers or something like that. And then once you do that for a while, you leave and do an independent book, and the independent book gets good. That's how that's supposed to go, and that's how a lot of editors and publishers want you to do it. I did it kind of the opposite. I came into the back door with my own character. Now I'm popular and everything. Creators know my name, and I had to build my resume. So what I did was I started thinking, well, I had to do stuff at Marvel. So I did the same thing. Picked up the phone. I found out at the time the art liaison was Chris Allo at the time. This was the time when a little bit after Joe Quesada's favorites, you know, he had his favorite staff of artists at the time, but doing hot. And I just kept sending stuff. Then I kept bugging him until he said, okay, I got you. We're going to give you a Treasure Island with Roy Thomas. I'm like, Roy Thomas, I just got lucky. At that time, I didn't even know where Roy Thomas was at the time. I didn't even know Chris Claremont. No. That type of situation, you know, because I was so busy trying to break in. And as I got to that door, I started building my resume. They gave me one series. They gave me another series. I started doing Exiles. I did a Iron Man Infopedia, Marvel Adventures Hulk. And then from that same philosophy, as I jumped on, I started doing that in my art business. Same thing I did with Sony. I wanted to get Sony's door, Sony Entertainment. I was doing that. Got some stuff on Killzone. And then I started making sure my resume was just good enough so every company could say, oh, he worked with every company. So that's how I did that. It was a strategic thing to keep my career vibrant. If I get old like I am now and need to draw, I can do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now, you mentioned, by the way, the Killzone thing of doing stuff over at Sony with the video game. I've noticed a lot of comic creators, they'll do stuff in, you know, entertainment in regards to movies, they'll do storyboarding, and I've also seen quite a number of people, you know, in comics also do stuff in the realm of gaming. And what do you think is, like, the major, you know, crossover appeal of that?
You know how that started? I'm going to tell you how that started. Okay, it started with Joe Matarero. That's how that thing started. Hey. In the industry, for some reason, back in the days, everybody does stuff for, you know, for comic book company. And people, when they crossed over, it was like the big thing at the time. Everybody wanted to cross over the game. Like, when you go to conventions, everybody wanted to get their books optioned by a movie or a licensed property. Everybody always wanted to do that. So, after Joe Matt left, Image stopped doing battle chases, the rumors were, he went out and done video games and made this exorbitant amount of money and stuff. Everybody like, oh. So a lot of kids wanted to cross over and do stuff like that. Sony was hard to crack. It's one of those things where I had it in my mind. I wanted to crack Sony. I happened to be in California at one time. I happened to be talking to somebody that needed some art stuff. He wanted to submit for this new PlayStation console that was going out. I just got lucky. That's how that happened.
Very cool. And it's funny because, like, I'll go on, you know, I got to, like, part of what made me discover a lot of your stuff as well was your Facebook page, where you have so much stuff, the work in progress stuff, the stuff you've, you know, finished, you know, just everything on there. I got to tell you, and I was talking to Eddie off mic about it, you have one piece on there. It's an homage to that Incredible Hulk issue done by the Toddster himself, Todd McFarlane.
Yeah, that's my baby's favorite, too.
I have to say, I love Todd's work, but yet you found a way to surpass that. So really great job on that.
Oh, that's Thank you very much, man. That was my heart. I might need to keep that sound by and pay it on my phone.
Now, in regard,
I appreciate that. I appreciate that a lot. That's a very high compliment.
Now, in regards to like some of the stuff that's coming next, what do you have down the pipeline?
Okay, so I'm working. I have some on first on the list. I have some Cave Woman covers coming out. I'm working with Kevin Alsop over there at Admiral Entertainment. You know, doing the Bud stuff. Got some Cave Woman stuff coming out. I have a series I'm supposed to be writing and doing with that guy, you know, Jack Book, also. I'm also working with Eric. I'm doing some Image stuff. Maybe Ant cover in there. Maybe not. We'll see. Doing that. Also, one of the biggest things that's got coming up, I have, since my Facebook stuff got popular over the time period, well, there was an instance where I put a Batman and a Catwoman in a double page spread, and it got very popular, you know, and got picked up, got in a YouTube video. They made 100 million likes or some shit. And it got popular, so I decided to do a little bit more of that. Well, Facebook, Warner Brothers got with Facebook, and they took all my stuff down from Facebook, all of it. It's one of the very rare things that's happened. But I found out that Warner Brothers only do that if you're on their radar. So by that, the email with Warner Brothers, I worked it out and I started thinking. And from that, I spawned an idea to start doing apparel, OMG t-shirts. All the artwork that I do, I want to design something that's bam, I wanted to be wearable for all my fans to have. Why just buy a book? Why just not have something that not only in the t-shirt industry, but in the comic industry itself, the t-shirt industry is pretty bad. You know, the big three, everybody knows how they do their art and how they do their artists when it comes to merchandising. I'm not going to say too much, but you know. Mm-hmm. So I just got an option coming up, a 3-year exclusive with a company, Inkophobia, that will produce OMG t-shirts and have them on the market for everybody. That's a big thing I'm working on.
So then that makes the three big tiers, I think, that you said, the comic book, the video game, and the t-shirt.
Yes.
Gotcha.
And then you can hang around forever. People love you. You love Todd and Stan.
So now
sometimes I feel, depending on what fence you're on.
Right.
So now, before we wrap this episode up, OMG, we want to say thank you so much for your time today with us on the program.
Thank you very much, man.
For the Marvelists, I'm Peter Melnick.
And I'm OMG.
And I'm Eddie Wilson. Excelsior!